بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. I've been very lazy with the Riyadh al-Salihin lessons. I think we only had one session in Ramadan, and then there've always been one thing or the other, because of which we've not managed to actually go through many ahadith. So I thought to myself, I didn't want to miss today's lesson again. So inshallah, we'll just go through a few ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'll do a very brief chapter, which is very important, and is to do with fasting as well. So we'll go through the chapter, and as we go through the chapter, inshallah, I'll explain the ahadith. So the chapter is titled, Babu Fadli Man Fattara Sa'iman Wa Fadlu Sa'imin Alladhi Yukalu Indahu Wa Da'a Lil Akili ودعاء الآكل للمأكول عنده. So the chapter Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi titles the chapter which discusses the virtue of feeding the fasting person, the fadila, the virtue of feeding a fasting person, and the virtue of fasting when there is somebody else who is near you who is eating. So I'm fasting, but there are other people around me who are eating, and the dua that a person who is a fasting person, when you give someone who is fasting food to eat, what dua they should read. So these are the different topics and the different discussions regarding which a hadith will be brought in this chapter. So the first hadith, عن بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم عن زيد بن خالد الجهني رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من فطر صائما كان له مثل أجره غير أنه لا ينقص من أجر الصائم شيء. رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح. سيدنا زيد بن خالد الجهني رضي الله عنه narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever feeds a fasting person, فطر, to give iftar to, whoever provides iftar to a fasting person, food to a fasting person to break their fast with, كان له مثل أجره, they will get the same reward as the fasting person themselves. غير أنه لا ينقص من أجر الصائم شيء. However, the reward of the fasting person will not be decreased in the least, in the slightest. So the person who is fasting, obviously they will get the reward of their fast. But just by giving iftar, or just by feeding the fasting person at iftar time, you will get the same reward as the fasting person's fast. So subhanAllah, it's an amazing hadith. And very amazing blessing. There's another hadith which is very similar, narrated by Imam Ibn Khuzaymah in his book of hadith. In that narration, the words are a bit different. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions, وَمَنْ فَطَّرَ فِيهِ صَائِمًا, whoever feeds a fasting person inside of Ramadan, كَانَ مَغْفِرَةً لِذُنُوبِهِ, this will be a means of forgiveness for their sins. وَعِتْقُ رَقَبَتِهِ مِنَ النَّارِ, and this will be a means of them being saved from the fire of Jahannam. وَكَانَ لَهُ مِثْلُ أَجْرِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ أَنْ يَنْقُصَ مِنْ أَجْرِهِ شَيْءٌ, and he will also get the reward of the fasting person. However, the fasting person's reward will not be decreased in the slightest. وَقَالُوا, the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم أجمعين, they asked, لَيْسَ كُلُّنَا يَجِدُ مَا يُفَطِّرُ بِهِ الصَّائِمُ. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not all of us have the capacity, the ability to be able to feed the fasting person. We're not all wealthy, we're not all rich. We don't have enough money many times to feed the fasting person. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, يُعْطِ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى هَذَا الثَّوَابَ مَنْ فَطَّرَ صَائِمًا عَلَى تَمْرَةٍ أَوْ شَرْبَةِ مَاءٍ أو مزقة لبن الحديد. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is not essential to feed the fasting person a full meal to get the reward of their fast. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant this reward to a person who gives the fasting person even a date to break their fast with, or a sip of water to drink to break their fast with, or a gulp of milk, or a sip of milk to break their fast with. Just by feeding that small amount of food to a fasting person, a person will get the reward, the entire reward of that person's fast as well. And there's only two more hadith in this chapter, inshallah. I'm going to go through them. وعن أم عمارة الأنصارية رضي الله عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دخل عليها فقدمت إليه طعاما فقال كلي So this hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Ummu Ammara al-Ansariya. So this Sahabi, Ummu Ammara is a laqab, is a title. So obviously she has a name, Ummu Ammara means the mother of Ammara. So the ulama explained there were two Sahabiyat who were called Ummu Ammara. The most famous of those Sahabiyah, her name was Nusayba, the daughter of Ka'b, Nusayba bint Ka'b. And the ulama say that this is the Sahabi, when they say Ummu Ammara in the hadith, normally they talk about this Sahabiyah. They're referring to this Sahabiyah, Nusayba, the daughter of Ka'b. And this Sahabi, subhanAllah, if you hear about her life, obviously we don't have the time to go into her life at this moment in time. She only narrated three ahadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Ummu Ammara, Nusayba, her name was Nusayba. She narrated three ahadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if you look at her life, she was one of those Sahabiyat who took part, who participated in the Bay'atul Aqaba. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkatul Mukarramah, and the first time he gave da'wah to the people from Ansar who had come to perform Hajj, and he called them towards Islam, and then they took the pledge of allegiance to him. And there's only six or seven of them. And this is called Bay'atul Aqabatil Ula, the first pledge of allegiance that was taken at Aqaba. And then the second year they came back and there was 72 or 73 of them. And this is known as Bay'atul Aqabatil Thaniya, the second pledge of Aqaba. This is the time when they came and they said, Ya Rasulullah, we want you to come to Medina. And we will look after you, and we will, you know, honor you, and we will grant you shelter there and safety. And anybody who wants to migrate to Medina, we will look after them. And Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu was present, and he took an oath from them that you swear by Allah that you will look after, you will honor your word, you will look after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they said yes. So in this second pledge of Aqaba that was taken, Ummu Ammara was present. She was also present in Badr. She was also present in Uhud. In Uhud, her son Abdullah passed away, and her father and her husband Zayd passed away as well. Her son and her husband were both became shaheed in the Battle of Uhud. She took part in the great battles of Islam, including the Battle of Yamama. The Battle of Yamama took place after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. Battle of Yamama was the battle wherein Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu was the general of the Muslims, and he fought against the liar Musaylamah ibn al-Kadhab, the false prophet, who claimed that he was a prophet of Allah. And it was a very difficult battle for the Muslims because Musaylamah's army was huge. He had a very big army. Some scholars say he had 70,000 soldiers in his army. So Ummu Ammara fought in that battle, and it's mentioned that she received 11 serious wounds to her body on that day. And one of her arms was amputated on that day, was cut off in the Battle of Yamama. So subhanAllah, she had such a sacrificed so much for the sake of Allah and for Islam. Anyway, she mentions this hadith. I just thought it's an interesting point to mention. She says that أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دخل عليها. That on one occasion Sayyidina Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم came to her house. فقدمت إليه طعاما. So she presented some food before him. فقال كلي. So he said eat. He told her you eat as well. She is the host. فقالت إني صائمة. So she said I am fasting يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الصائم تصلي عليه الملائكة إذا أكل عنده حتى يفرغ. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم says the fasting person, angels seek forgiveness for the fasting person when other people are eating in front of him. So if I am fasting and there are others who are eating in front of me, this doesn't have to be Ramadan. In Ramadan, most of the people around you will be fasting as well. But apart from Ramadan, when a person has an optional fast, a nafal fast or qada fast or some other fast. So you're fasting, but people around you are eating. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and many times, even in Ramadan, many times our women folk are not fasting at home and we're fasting and they're eating in front of us. He says that as long as people in front of you are eating, the angels continue to ask forgiveness for you because you are having to go through that patience, that tolerance that people around me are eating and I cannot eat, I'm in that state. وَرُبَّمَا قَالَ حَتَّى يَشْبَعُوا. Another narration, it mentions that حَتَّى يَشْبَعُوا, until the people who are eating have finished eating, or until their bellies are full, continuously the angels will be asking forgiveness for you, for the fasting person himself. There's a few points that can be taken from this hadith. First is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he was the leader of the Muslims in Medina, and he was the main authority, he would still go to the houses of the simple Sahaba. And I mentioned this previously, in every 40 days Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would visit everybody in Medina. So if he came to, imagine a certain Sahabi, if he came to his house today, the Sahabi knows in the next 40 days Rasulullah again will return to my house. He would go to everybody's house. So this is a very important practice in Islam, to go to people's house, to be hospitable towards people who come, to have our doors open at all times, to invite people. A very important practice of Islam. Unfortunately, we're very negligent of this today. We're very stingy, we're very miserly. Another thing is, many times we're not stingy, but we overcomplicate things. We think, oh, if a person comes to my house, I need to feed them this, I need to have this dish, and the wife will be saying, hey, you need to get this ingredient, you need to get that ingredient. All of this is unnecessary. From the next hadith, inshallah, we'll mention a bit more about this. So this is the first point, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though he was the leader of the Muslims in Medina, he would not only go to the house of the close Sahaba, he would go to everybody's house, so that everybody understands that my connection with you is the same. This is why many Sahaba, you see the hadith of Sayyidina Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu, he used to say, the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would treat me, I would feel that I was the most beloved to him. So on one incident, one occasion, I went to him and I asked, Ya Rasulullah, who is the most favorite person, who is the most beloved person to you? Because that's how close I was to him. I thought I was the most beloved to him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aisha radiallahu anha. And then he said, what about after? He said, her father. What about after? Umar. And then he kept on going. And then Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anha said, he said, I stopped asking, thinking that he's going to say my name right at the end of the list. But this was the akhlaq, this was the character Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come across other people with. So this is the first point. He would go to their houses. Secondly, this hospitality. Ummu Ammara, whatever she had at home, she presented it. فَقَدَّمَتْ إِلَيْهِ طَعَامًا. So hospitality, inshallah, that's another separate lecture. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kuli. So she presented the food and she left it waiting for the guest to eat, waiting for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to eat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, you also participate in the food. This goes to show that, the ulama explain, the host should first initiate the eating. If Haji Sahib has called me to his house and I sit down, Haji Sahib says, up pehle shuru kar, you start. I might find it a bit awkward, you know, I might find it a bit difficult to eat, and he's watching me, other people are watching me. But if the host starts to eat and then says, you take as well, then automatically I feel comfortable. The host is eating, so then you can take. And the best thing is to say self-service. You know, our people, when they load the plates, they give you a plate and then I load it. And now Bichara's stomach is this big and he's given him this much food. And now he's not going to be able to eat that food. And that's one thing, mashallah, after I got married, my father-in-law, Allah ta'ala give him jazai khair. From the first time, this is what I was dreading, because I can't eat much. So I was thinking, inna lillah, what's going to happen in these dawats that they go to, and they overload the plates, and then I won't be able to eat, and I'm going to be sitting there stuck. And then my father-in-law said, from the day when, he said, look, I'm never going to give you the food. Whatever you want, just take and eat. And when people will say, even if we ever went to a dawat with him, to anybody's house, and they would start loading, he would say, no, don't give it to him, let him take whatever he wants to. This is the sunnah. We unfortunately think this is a sign of our kindness, generosity. Can load the plate, a big plate, and then you have to eat it now. Now Bichara, he's come to enjoy himself, and now he's in taklif, he's in difficulty. Allah Ta'ala gives hidayat. So this is the first etiquette, that the host should sit down and participate in the food. And they mention other points as well, inshallah, I won't go into that. I'll do the last hadith, inshallah, then we conclude this chapter.
وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جاء إلى سعد بن عبادة فجاء بخبز وزيت فأكل ثم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أفطر عندكم الصائمون وأكل طعامكم الأبرار وصلت عليكم الملائكة رواه أبو داود بإسناد صحيح. This hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He mentions that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the house of Sa'd ibn Ubadah. Now Sa'd ibn Ubadah is a famous Sahabi. He was the leader of the Khazraj tribe in Medina. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Medina, you had the Aus tribe and you had the Khazraj tribe. Aus tribe, the main leader was Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, and the Khazraj tribe, the main leader was Sa'd ibn Ubadah. And this person, Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu, a lot of ghayra. In all the ahadith you hear about his temper, he would get very quickly become angry, and he had a lot of ghayra. For instance, when initially, because of Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu's ghayra, the verses of Li'an were revealed. That when a person sees, Allah Ta'ala protect us from such a situation, it's a very difficult situation. A person comes and they see that their wife is with somebody else. What do they do in that situation? So Allah Ta'ala mentioned the verses of Li'an. They have to bring four witnesses, and you know, if they don't have four witnesses, then they need to do the Li'an. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, at that time Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu, he was present, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I won't wait for witnesses. If I see another man with my wife, I'm going to chop his head off there and then. This is what he said. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said,
Look at the ghayra of Sa'd. This is his ghayra. I can't tolerate seeing my wife with another man. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have more ghayra than Sa'd. And Allah Ta'ala has more ghayra than me. So ghayra is an important part of Islam as well. And Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu, his life as well is very long. His biography. Anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to his house. He was the leader of Khazraj and he was a very generous person. Very, very generous person. However, فَجَاءَ بِخُبْزٍ وَزَيْتٍ what food item did he present in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to eat? He presented some bread and some olive oil. He is a very generous, very wealthy person, and it's not like there was no meat available in Medina, no dates and no other type of food, wheat and barley and these different commodities that a person can eat. However, he presented some bread and some olive oil. The ulama explained, from this it goes to show that it's not against a person's generosity. This does not mean that a person is not generous if they present a very simple, humble meal. Whatever you have at home to present, this is the Islamic etiquette, that a person comes to my house, a guest, I don't overthink. At the same time, it's good to overthink at times. If a big alim is coming to my house, a big scholar, a very respectable person, a noble person, a pious person, and I know from beforehand, for example, Adil Bhai is coming to my house. I know, he's told me, I'm going to come to your house in 2 days. I know I've got 2 days before he comes to my house. And I know that he enjoys meat. So if I go and I buy some nice meat, he enjoys, I don't know, some kind of biryani. So I tell my wife, prepare that biryani for him, he enjoys this. Again, this is a sign of ikram, and this is a good etiquette. But if somebody comes to my house there and then we should never ever have this kind of attitude where it's making life very difficult for ourselves. Whatever we have to present, we present inshallah. Even water, many times Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to the house of Sahaba, water would be presented in front of him. Sometimes milk would be presented in front of him, sometimes dates. The Sahabi would come home and he'd say to his wife, there's an animal outside, why didn't you not cut that? She said, I was waiting for you. So then he would go, he'd slaughter the animal, and then the meat would be cooked and the meat would be presented. It was very, very, there was no takalluf, there was no formalities, it was very relaxed. So anyway, Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu, he presented some bread and some olive oil in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate. ثم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم thereafter Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم he said this dua أفطر عندكم الصائمون may the fasting people break their fast with you. Ulama explained this in two different ways. Some have said that this dua means that may Allah Ta'ala give you the reward of feeding the fasting person. وأكل طعامكم الأبرار may the pious people eat your food, eat of your food. وَصَلَّتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ and may the angels continue to seek forgiveness for you. So this is the dua that a person makes when they're fasting and somebody feeds them. The ulama have explained, you don't have to be fasting. If somebody feeds you food, this is a beautiful dua to make. Normally the other dua that we have, اللهم أطعم من أطعمني واسق من سقاني and many other duas that are there. That's the popular dua, the common dua. But this dua can also be read. أَفْطَرَ عِنْدَكُمُ الصَّائِمُونَ وَأَكَلَ طَعَامَكُمُ الْأَبْرَارِ وَصَلَّتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon these few ahadith. Just very quickly before we finish, I'm sure everybody is aware, it's on the news, it's on the media, about what's happening in Palestine. Allah Ta'ala protect Masjid al-Aqsa. Allah Ta'ala protect the Muslims living in Palestine. It's very, very difficult. SubhanAllah, some of the videos you see, Tarawih Salah is happening, tear gas, stun grenades, and rubber bullets, and all of these things are happening, very loud sounds, but Tarawih Salah is continuing. The Muslims over there are so used to this oppression, to this zulm, that they're just continuing as their normal daily activities. Why was this happening? Because there were some protests by the Muslims. What were they protesting? So the soldiers stormed into Masjid al-Aqsa, how many soldiers were there that stormed into Masjid al-Aqsa? Over 60 soldiers stormed into Masjid al-Aqsa and they made it into a battlefield, a war zone. So many people were injured. Why? Because some Muslims had been protesting. Why had they been protesting? Because Israeli settlers were coming into their homes and saying, you cannot live in your home anymore, we're taking over your home. So Palestinians were being evicted from their homes and the Israelis were coming in, moving into their homes. And there's a video, even the Daily Telegraph reported, we don't want to talk about politics, but we need to understand what's going on as Muslims. The Daily Telegraph reported, there was a video that I watched, that a Jewish person is saying, look, don't blame me. A Palestinian woman is saying, oh Joseph, why are you doing this? Why are you coming into my home and saying that I need to leave and you're going to take over my home? Joseph said, don't blame me. If I wasn't doing it, somebody else would come and take your home. It's not my fault. They've given us permission to come and take your homes, and we need a home. So we're going to come and take your home. So this is unfortunately what's happening is severe zulm and oppression that is happening to the Muslims over there. Allah Ta'ala protect them. We should keep them in du'as. And at the same time, whatever we can do to help, any petitions that need to be signed, any kind of charity that we can donate, anything we can do to help, we need to do our part. And most importantly, we should do plenty of dua. In our du'as, we should always spare a dua for the oppressed Muslims throughout the world, wherever they may be. Remember, you do dua for people, automatically the angels say, Ameen wa laka mithl. That, you know, may Allah accept and may you get the same as the dua that you're doing for the other person. So we should always keep the oppressed Muslims in our du'as. Allah Ta'ala gives the tawfiq. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallah, wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.